WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are at the Land of Kush.
We're getting
supreme service here from Naja. And so Brooklyn Learman is here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. By the way, I did get my Betty Boop, the pink one. Brooke, you can take the lottery ticket. Everybody's eligible
to
play.
Take it to my kids.
You can't take it to your kids. Kids are 18.
But they can,
John goes crazy with that. Don't do that and run for office. Win donation and our friends at Goodwill. I'll tell the funniest story about that because my wife's sister did that when she was a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
And at Christmas time, every time I do a lottery segment, they're like, they are not stocking stuffers. They are not stocking stuffers. So I just want to make sure. Brooke Learman's running for controller. But more than that, I want to get Naja a headset here because we're about to have people have made fun of me today for doing the vegan crab cake thing. And it's fine. I mean, they're like, there is no vegan crab cake. If it's vegan, it's not a crab cake, you know? So I'm like, all right, well, we're going to get down here and get to the bottom of this. Brooke, you, I'm not wrong in saying you recommended this, right?
Because
we wrote to a bunch of people, and I know Odette recommended it, and I know Theroux, and he'll be here in a little bit too. Vegetarians know about this joint, right? Yeah. Vegan people know about this joint. And I had never been here in downtown. I live down here, and I'm going to the Meyerhof on Monday for the Ravens celebration. Buy Purple Rain 1, please. And I don't know what's in it. I have done no research. My wife woke up this morning. I'm brushing my teeth, and she never does this. And she likes crab cakes. She came in with your menu at 7 this morning. She's like, all right, here's what I want. You know, and she started soul food, vegan soul food. We'll have this. I'm like, okay, I'll bring dinner home today.
You can't go wrong.
I'm in the right. Am I in good hands here, Brooke?
You are in good hands.
Why did you recommend Naja? And then we're going to get your story here all afternoon.
Sure. Well, you know, when you're looking at crab cakes and you're doing your crab cake tour, you can always go to the Coco's, the Fadley's. They're amazing. There are other great spots around the city, too, of course. But, you know, this is off the beaten path to think of a vegan crab cake. And Naja and Gregory are really community-minded.
Smells like a crab cake.
It smells like, you know, it's got...
It looks like a crab cake.
And it's fun. It's good. You wouldn't know. I mean, honestly, like, if you eat it, you wouldn't guess it was vegetarian or vegan. I mean, it's sort of a fun, different thing to try. And so I was happy to recommend Land of Kush.
All right, so I'm going to tell you the first thing that I already like about it. First, it smells great. The thing I like about it is it's fried like a hockey puck, the way my mom did them on the east side. Because I tell people, we grew up poor, right? So we didn't have
the big
jumbo lump meat, like all back thin. We just had some claw meat, some special, you know? Yeah. My mom would whip it up with some, and she'd do the same thing with salmon cakes out of the can,
we
right?
We used to eat the canned salmon.
Absolutely. I want to make sure I got your headset working here so maybe we get some volume on you.
Sure.
Now I hear you. How are you?
You hear me. I'm fine. I'm doing great. Great to have you here.
What's in it?
This is seitan. Seitan is a wheat protein, and we just season it the way you would season any crab cake with Old Bay.
Yeah.
Old Bay.
I mean,
that's
magic. Old Bay
is
magic.
Mayo in there? It's got mayonnaise, mayo, celery seed, any of that? No celery.
No. It's all vegan.
Brooke, it's award-winning.
I got to tell you, it's award-winning. Certified.
Everybody told me that this is the award-winning thing. Are you giving me the honors?
I'm giving you the honors.
All right. I have a lot of debates about remoulade, because I do the crab cake tour, right?
Tartar and cocktail.
So when I was a kid, and this is sort of like the former president putting, you know, ketchup on a well-done steak, you know? I would not put cocktail on jumbo lump, but I grew up with cocktail. I didn't like mustard.
Yeah.
So remoulade's like a New Orleans. I didn't have remoulade. That's Gucci. I didn't have that till I was 30. We didn't have remoulade Dundalk in 1985. Believe me, we didn't. So you recommend I eat it regular, or what are you recommending here?
This is a yum-yum sauce. I like it with the vegan tartar sauce we make, but both sauces are really, really good.
All right. So this is yum-yum.
Yum-yum
That's
sauce.
Like an Asian thing, right?
Yes.
So this is not a remoulade.
No.
I just want to have it regular first.
Okay, sure.
I don't want to.
Hey, you're going to like it regular.
I don't want to insult
like it
the chef.
Hey, this is live. It's the first
time. This is a big deal.
Your facial expression will tell it all.
How many crab cakes have I? I've had thousands
You've
of crab
cakes.
You've
had thousands of crab cakes.
It's my first.
First vegan.
First vegan crab cake. And it's, what is it?
Seitan. That's a wheat protein.
Spell that.
S-E-I-T-A-N.
It looks like a crab cake.
It looks like a crab cake. Yeah.
Oh. You might fool me if I you blindfold me. I'm gonna try it regular.
Yeah,
hold on,
try it regular.
Everyone's watching.
It tastes like a crab cake.
Yeah.
It's like my mom's crab cake.
Maybe your mom was making.
It crunches like it's got shells in it.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a crab cake.
That's good.
I'm going to give you a fist bump on that. That's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, no, seriously, it's pretty good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I haven't even tried your sauce yet.
And here's the tartar sauce. That's vegan tartar.
Oh, yes.
So here's the deal. When the host is feeding himself, you got
to
be a good
cook.
You have to talk.
We have to talk so he doesn't have to talk.
So here's I want you to tell everyone why you recommended this, because you have... She's community-minded. She's running for office. She's been running forever. But you recommended this to a legitimate neighborhood.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, that's the best thing about Baltimore is you get to know your neighbors and your small business owners. And you and your husband are parents at a school in my neighborhood and have been, you know, very generous in working with the PTO to make sure you can help out. So that's how I found out about you and just really appreciate your, you know, running this great business, but also keeping the community in mind. So tell us all, when did you open? I don't even remember.
Oh, wow.
My wife looked it up online this morning.
Yeah. We were celebrating 11 years. Opened in 2011.
Okay.
Right?
Great.
Yep. Time flies.
Yeah.
So, we've been having a good time. We have a nice Wall of Fame. Stevie Wonder's been here.
Nice.
Ray Lewis. So, you know.
I want to hear the Stevie Wonder story later.
We'll get into that later. I'm just letting people know. We're small but mighty.
Small but mighty indeed.
We're award-winning, and we work very hard, and the staff works very hard, and we appreciate everyone's support of the Land of Kush all these 11 years.
Someone said when we were here a little early, they said, tell all your friends about this. I said, I am. This is what I'm telling all of our friends about. You opening this concept, were you in another city and ate at a place, or is this designed after anything you saw?
No, actually, Land of Kush is my husband Gregory Brown's brainchild. So I just came in to help him fulfill that dream. So, yeah, see?
That's really good.
Yeah, you like that sauce. So these are all his recipes, all of them.
Is this gluten-free?
No, it's seitan is wheat, so wheat is not gluten free.
Sorry, I'm trying to hook Chloe up. I'm learning.
You have.
We're working on it.
No, you know, I have several friends who are gluten free. Your menu has the big GFs on it.
Yes.
And like, you really do cater to people that
have dietary needs.
Aren't looking for a steak, literally looking for you, and they seek you out. The concept of doing this though, and vegan soul food.
Soul food, our demographic, African Americans, Latino. I'm half Latino, Puerto Rican descent. We like tasty food. So in order to open the dialogue, because we'll use that to open the dialogue to get people to eat this type of food, it has to be relative. They have to relate to the food. Collard greens is vegan without all the smoke neck and stuff like that in it. Yams are vegan without the marshmallows.
Yep. And all the good flavors.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we had to bring this concept to the city in order to have people gravitate toward it and try it. And I think, you know, we're humble and thankful, but we're doing pretty well.
That's great.
I mean, a lot of our customers are not vegan. They just like the food. They want healthier versions of soul food without all that cholesterol.
I'm not vegan, but I'm eating a vegan crab cake, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it right now.
But I think that's the thing. You know, sometimes for a long time, I think people thought, oh, well, if I'm not vegetarian or I'm not vegan, why would I get that? But it's like, well, you eat all different kinds of food every night. You don't eat the same thing every time. So it's great to have different alternatives.
Yes.
And you're doing a great job.
Health disparities.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's got a little kick to it.
Yes, it's a little spicy. Yes.
Good thing you brought me that coconut water. Brooklyn Herman is here. She's running for controller. And so, you know, this is what the Crab Cake Tour was all about, right? Recommending a new place, coming up with a new idea. And people said to me, you know, Crab Cake Tour without the crab, you know? And I'm like, Gertrude's also does one. And the people that are vegan, and I want to be clear, I thought she was vegan. She's not. I thought when she recommended it, because she said, I'll eat a Faithley's crab cake. But I think anybody that would come in here would try this.
Yeah, we're not checking for vegan cards here. Yeah, y'all. It's just good food. If you like good food, if you're foodie, any number of reasons you want to come in here, this is your place. We have something for everyone. If you're raw, we got a live kale that our customers love, live kale. So just come on in. Smoothies.
I want to try that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm here all afternoon.
Okay, we'll get you some live kale.
Going to get through
the
menu.
The greenest thing that you'll ever see.
I saw that delicious salad, cucumber and tomato salad, and I had to have it. I just was talking to me, so I grabbed it. I got I got things in my teeth now. There's a little bit of dill going on there.
Exactly.
It's delicious. Well, thank you for having
us.
We're going to get you. I'm going to finish up with Brooke.
And, all right.
Theroux's coming a little later.
You.
Absolutely. And let me pull that down a little bit. There we go. All right. Marilyn Crab Cake. We're pulling the chefs out of the kitchen. Pulling the cooks out of the kitchen. We're doing all sorts of stuff around here. What's your sauce of choice? What do you put on your crab cake?
I'm a lemon or tartar. Just a squeeze of lemon or some tartar sauce.
I was shocked when I did the crab cake, when I was doing 30 crab cakes. Every single day, every place I went, they gave me a big glob of tartar sauce. And I had never had tartar. Tartar's like for fish sticks.
Yeah.
Like, as I know it, right? I mean, it's not...
Yeah.
It's I just would never put it on a crab cake.
Yeah.
And then I started to discover, I was in Annapolis in a place called Davis Pub, had just this delicious... capery, lemony.
Right. It doesn't
not
have to be
mayonnaise with relish, you know.
It doesn't have to be your
I'm gonna stop eating because I want to continue to talk about your campaign and what you're doing here. Moving the election, give me from the inside of running a campaign, and I have so much respect for any of you running campaigns because it's especially
it's
when you're sitting in one office and serving people and taking that on. This is and children. I mean, you're just like one of the busiest, most ambitious people I've ever met. Honestly.
Well, thanks. There's a lot to do. We can't. I don't want to waste a day. So.
Well, the election moving. How did that affect your campaign specifically?
Sure. Well, there was a great article in a local newspaper that's sort of like a local Onion. The Onion, the parody.
Sure.
And the local newspaper joked that the Court of Appeals had moved the election date for 3 weeks just to give Brooke Learman more time to explain what on earth a comptroller does. So
good.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. But, for me, for anybody who's running for office, it's more time to connect with voters. Certainly it's I worry about turnout in a mid-July election. So it means we have to really be ramping up and reminding people to get their mail-in ballot if they're not going to be here in July. Mail-in ballots are coming out in mid-early June. So people are going to start
voting. God, it's so
easy.
We had Nikki Charleston on last week. Don and I did. And by the way, it's nice having you around without Don coming in here and bullying all up on wonky Elizabeth Warren issues that are really important to you and important to people, too. But sometimes try to humanize politics, right? Or try to have people just understand all of this. Controller, people don't know how to say it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because in Maryland, we say comptroller.
Right.
And lots of other places, they say controller. But also a controller, C-O-N-T-R-O-L-L-E-R, is different than a comptroller. So, it's different
See,
words.
Chloe's on the light. She already knows what's going on.
They
crushed the lights on us. We have these fantastic lights above us that are lighting us up. So for people that maybe just came in, if you were to say comptroller or controller, the job itself, if you have to explain it to a 12-year-old, how do you, literally, when you try to explain it to adults, I have a hard time. If I have
Look,
to explain
I'll
it
say,
right now,
I'll
if
say,
you said to me, hey, Ness, what is he? I'd be like, I'm glad
so
you're
I'll
here
say,
to explain it.
The one sentence is, it's the elected CFO of our state. In one sentence. But
I've never heard it put that way.
That's one sentence. Money in, money out goes through the comptroller's office, right? Every dollar in, every dollar out. But if you think about that, but if you're, broadening it up a little, three things. One of only three independently elected statewide offices we have, right? We've got governor, attorney general, and comptroller. So really essential statewide voice, for the city to talk about and tackle some of the economic challenges in the state, the racial wealth divide, climate change, public schools, economic inequality. So important statewide voice. Second job. The comptroller sits on a lot of boards. The Board of Public Works, which, is responsible for approving any contracts, dollars that we spend, and the State Retirement and Pension Board, overseeing our pension system, making sure, almost 500,000 retirees get what's owed to them. So it sits on a lot of boards. Really important position, especially as all the federal money is coming in, to have a leader who's looking out, being transparent, holding ourselves accountable, making sure we're spending money to support great, businesses like Black-owned businesses, building our schools, doing transit, broadband, just being accountable. And then the third job, of course, sorry to remind you, running to be your next tax collector. But there, also tax administration is imperative. We've got to, modernize the system, make it easier for people to pay, and make sure people know what credits are owed to them, right? If it's the earned income tax credit or the teacher tax credit, make sure people, get what's coming to them, but also making sure that the wealthiest individuals, the biggest companies, that they pay their fair share, that they know what they owe and that they pay it. So that's, those are sort of the three big jobs. If you think about it in this way, I sort of like to, The comptroller's office is the first office in our state government that sees the numbers that really tell the stories of how land of Kush, our small businesses or our families,
you see every trend
are doing.
Right?
Yes, you see the trends. And I'm really determined to make sure that that office is focused on following those trends, making sure the numbers look good for everyone, you know, not just a few.
One thing that has come to me, and maybe I just know a couple rich people, right? But I've known some people here who are really trying to get the hell out of Maryland, as they would say, right?
Yep.
And protect their wealth. And listen, I mean, I've tried my whole life to be wealthy, right? I mean, I wish I had this problem, right? I had other issues, but for people to say, I'm leaving the Keys, I'm going to Delaware. You don't have to go far, right? To say we'll get a better deal there, a better tax deal for my children, my grandchildren. I'm getting to be at that point that if I had that money and I would say, so if I die in Maryland, my kids are going to get cost X thousands, millions, whatever that number is, it's too much, right? How can we fix that? This flight that we've had that I know about only because I know some successful people who care. I talk to Leonard Raskin all the time from Raskin Global, one of my partners here, about that. He sees it in his world all the time. And people like him are telling their people, get out because of the tax situation. Yeah. I don't know enough about it, which I'm coming to you about it.
So I think a couple things. I hear this all the time, too. And what I talk with people about are a few things. Number one, we need to really understand the problem at a much more granular level. So working with our CPAs, working with tax attorneys who are advising their clients on how to, on where to go, understanding why they're doing it, what is it that they think Delaware is so much better, and, why. So really bringing people together to analyze and get granular and specific about which taxes people think are so onerous. This year we passed the largest tax decrease. I mean, it ended up being through a tax credit for retirees in the state of Maryland in the past 50 years, right? Recognizing that people who are retiring, who are on fixed incomes, we want to lower their tax burden.
So there's a decision here, right?
Right, there's a decision. And so, but we need to be really granular and look at the numbers and what's happening here versus what's happening in other states. Number two is we need to be realistic about that we have different tax structures. So Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland, we all tax very differently, right? We collect different numbers of sales taxes. We do different, different income taxes, some places have state, local, municipalities. We have different kinds of government. So we have to, in some way, somebody said, can you just create a calculator so I can figure out how much it'll cost me to live here?
Sure.
Right? I mean, but
people
want to know.
If my wife, we're talking about retirement now for her. She turns 50 in a couple of weeks. She doesn't look it. But she's like, maybe it's 60. Okay. I want to be gone. And looking at it and start to say, all right, where are we going to be? What's the plan? What's the strategy? And people now would say, well, Florida, here, there, wherever that Valhalla, that perfect place where you're going to live on whatever your income is going to be. And I want that to stop. Smart people to tell me you should leave.
But there's trade-offs everywhere, right?
Sure.
And so we have to make the case for why Maryland is a place where retirees should stay, right? And I think
that's a lifestyle issue.
Yeah,
right? Sure.
I mean, we have to be able to make that case. And it's, it's about aging in place and giving people that opportunity, making sure they can thrive. It's about, some folks want to stop driving. Can they get around easily and safely without a car? It's about, long-term care insurance. Are we incentivizing it and making sure that people can stay in their homes and have the supports they need? So there's a lot of different factors that go into where people want to end up retiring and living their final days. But we want to be, we want to make the case for why Maryland's there. And the comptroller's office, that's something that we can be doing, certainly on the tax side and working with our legislators to really analyze it. So I'm excited to be an advocate for older adults and for kids too, because we've got to be investing in childcare and making sure that folks can get what they need from the very beginning of life to the very end of life.
So if Don were here right now, he would jump up on the table and endorse you and point at you and say vote. So I just want to throw that in.
That's
I don't endorse much,
yep.
But the Republican guy's going to come on a show, but he knows I'm not going to vote for him. But I want to hear both sides of this issue, because I hear it all day, because I have Republican friends and Democratic friends.
Of course, so do I.
And I have rich friends and poor friends. I have city friends and county friends. All of that, as to your point, these three big jobs that are on the line every 4 years, and more important than ever, because there's going to be a lot of change.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of change in the state right now.
And
we had Brian Frosch on a couple weeks ago down at Faithies. He was not vegan, by the way. He went after the crab cake. Or pescatarian, which you would go after the crab cake at Faithies. But this, the winds of change, all of this money coming in, there's a chance here to do something different.
There's a chance to do something big, and to really have our kids and grandkids sort of look back and say, like, we got it right in Maryland, right? When all that money came to Maryland, we were transparent, we were accountable, we had high standards, and we built the red line. We made sure that we were spending it on our communities in a way that would build a more prosperous state for decades to come.
Can you make a case that the red line's not dead?
The red line isn't dead if we don't want it to be. We hold our transit fate in our hands.
How can that be resuscitated in a way that brings it back to where it was 8-10 years ago, where there was some inertia to get it done, and we were literally one election away from getting it done. And there would have been a whole lot going on here the last
so
8 years that would have been different.
Yeah, it would have been really different, and we would have a great, you know, light rail about to open. So really, we need state leadership. We need a governor and a transportation secretary who are invested. And then we need help at the federal level from our federal legislators, our legislative team, to help find some money, and working with the president's office and Secretary Buttigieg to get money. Because, you know, Hogan sent back $900 million.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. That, you know, another state got. So instead of investing here in the city and in the state of Maryland. So we need to have the plan, resuscitate it, figure out what needs to come next, and then go and work with our federal partners to make sure that we can do it. And I will say, the red line is necessary, but it is not sufficient, right? We can't put all our eggs in the red line basket, because we need a transit system that works across the state, whether it's, you know, WMATA, the metro system in the D.C. suburbs, the MARC train, our light rail, our buses that we're about to electrify in the next few years. We need a transit system that works everywhere, not just one line.
Got to get people to work.
We've got to get people to work. People got to get to be able to have options in how to get around, right? And so transit, we're a small state. Transit should be connecting us all much better than it is. So I'm really focused
on
that.
Well, you know how small it is. You drive around it every day.
I do drive around it. I drive around it all the time. Yeah, but always my head rests on my pillow here in Baltimore.
All right, so are there any parting shots before I ask you about the Orioles and Springsteen? Because I have to get that in before I throw you out of here, right?
I'm a big Orioles fan. I went to the first game ever played at Camden Yards.
So did I.
Did you? Well, yes. We were there together. Yes, I was in eighth grade, I think.
I was in the press box back when I had a press pass.
Nice.
Back when I was in the legitimate media. By the way, I just got, when I get a good crab cake later on, and I've had a couple
taste
people tonight.
Now
you taste the celery seed.
Yeah.
And I've had three or four different people say, I don't put celery seed in there.
It's the old bay.
It's in the JO or the, whatever you're eating.
Yeah.
But the vegan crab cake, it is legit. We're at the Land of Kush. See, if I'm eating it, I can't do as much talking.
It's true.
So it's good.
Any last thing
you want to say about running for control?
This is really essential position. Not many people know about it. So if you have heard this, I encourage you to talk to your friends, family, neighbors about how important the state comptroller role is, and check out my website, brooklearman.com. Thank you.
I had to write a check this year, I'm looking forward to maybe having a check with your autograph. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Like, right? I mean, because you'd be the one, that's who you are. You're the one that sends that thing when you get it.
Yep.
All right. Don't overtax me. There she is, Brooke Learman. She is Democrat for controller. We're at the Land of Kush, recommended by her, but also by our next guest, also by Odette Ramos, by everyone that has said, I went down there and got a vegan crab cake, and it was better than you think it's going to be, and it actually is, and this sauce is delicious. I haven't gotten into it's got a little dill in there. I'm going to have to figure that out, get it out of my teeth. I'm Nestor. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. They're our newest sponsor, 2-for-1 Windows. They're literally measuring us today. We had to, watch the cat and do all that stuff. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery as well. I've got my drink here. I've got my Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. And our friends at Goodwill. I had Lisa on this week talking about jobs programs, and they gave me they give me props.
I love
it. It's television. I get to hold this up, and this is the truck that's going to come out and take all the stuff that I cleaned out of my closet. I am Nestor. We are WNST. Back for more from the Land of Kush. It is a Maryland Crab Cake Tour, the vegan crab cake tour today. Back for more from downtown right after this.